2 Timothy 3. And 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. So we said earlier that when we say inspired of God, it's a codified language, theonistos, it's just one word. And it has many events. So you always have that word, theonistos, inspired of God, which deals with more than one event. Okay? Brings in many events together. I was looking at the name of Jesus, and we said it is reputation, what he is known for. Now I'm going to abridge it a bit and go to something I taught, I think 2 weeks ago, teaching on the subject seated on high. I said then, okay, if he is a personality, so obvious in the Old Testament, why did he become a man? Okay, I asked the first question, what's the difference between the Old and New Testament, right? Huh? And I said it's Jesus, so I want to answer it further now. What's the difference? It's not theology. Because John 5:39, the scriptures testify of me. John 5:46, he wrote of me. Alright, John 5:47, if you believe his words, you believe me. So, if that is it, so it can't be theology. Because theology has been found to be the same. So, what then is the difference? We said, it's the incarnation. That the word of the Lord, alright, the Malach Yahweh has now become, now when we say a man, I think we have to be clear, the word used there is, now we have Ish. Ish is person. You have Adam, male, female, man, but Ish is a person, like a living being, an invisible person. So the word became flesh, John 1:14, sucks there, is a human being. Okay? So that is the difference. Okay? So again, I'll repeat what I said earlier, that there was not as much prediction about Jesus. In fact, it's not even close. There was not, if I'm going to use a ratio of prophecies and predictions about Jesus, in comparison to his actions in the Old Testament, it will be 1 to 1,000. So which means that you can readily miss his identity by just sticking to the predictions. Who's following what I'm saying here? You can miss it. His identity is not predicted. What is predicted is his humanity. His identity is not predicted. The predictions will deal with his humanity. So, why did he become a man? Now, if you follow the book, I'm going to pick it up again on Sunday. I want to delve a bit into a concept of in the spirit on Sunday. I couldn't get to it last Sunday, but I'll do it this time. Why did he become a man? What's the reason? Now, regularly you say salvation, but we're going to handle that a little bit. Because when Paul says that, it's so Timothy that from the child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through the faithfulness that is in Christ. If Christ is an Old Testament personality, that means the salvation is an Old Testament theology. So, the point is, why did he become a man? I'm just going to, now, within, I'm saying I'm going to go through this. Alright, let's see. Let's see. We'll survive it. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2 and 14. Now the background to this was that, that's a work I want to do on Sunday and Monday, but we know we have a Septuagint issue, you can call it New Testament King James issue, where because of the challenges of their day, they replaced sons of God with angels. Hope you remember. So there was a problem. Because of the Malach Yahweh usage, there had been issues of identifying Jesus as, at that point, You know, grammar changes over time. I'm going to go into this in detail. Grammar had now moved from job description angel, that's the word malak, to a being. So at some point, just before the incarnation, angel had now shifted from the ancient usage of job description. It was now specific beings. It now became dangerous. Because of the use of that, just like today when we say church, if you sit down in the 4th century church, what they will hear is different. In their minds is synagogue, or episynagogue, where you come together, you worship, you pray, you read scriptures, you fellowship, and you share community. And the core issue is the Torah. But now, I'm sure they will say, is this the gates of hell? Or the church in some instances, not in many instances. So because the word had changed, so angel was now used not as a job description, just like we do today, is now a person. So the New Testament writers, translators, now worked so hard to separate it. They didn't do it neatly. And I will show you. It wasn't really neat. They did their best. But it's what it is. It's a hard work. So in that instance, we've done this story that the background therefore of Hebrews 1:2 is to separate the Son from the sons of God by using angel to describe the other sons of God. Am I making sense here? Huh? So that is are you following this? That is the distinction that was being made. So in Hebrews 2, so in your head, do this for me quickly. The angels of Hebrews 1 and 2, replace it with the Elohim of the Old Testament and the Bene Elohim sons of God. Then it will make sense what the writer of Hebrews is doing. Am I communicating? Alright, good. Because you know in Hebrews 1:3, we did that in that service. We saw that how we explained him the brightness of his glory, express image of his presence. That this is not representative. This is God. I showed you the word character and the other word apoge, that it's direct. It's like, you know, difference. But when I said that there's a medium between the sun and you, but this time there's no medium. It's the rays of the sun directly, apoge. So he's God directly being referred to now. So he's making that distinction. Just like you saw how Joshua thought he saw a son of God, then when you pick a call and say, who is this? And on the other line, say, I'm so and so. And you think you're called talking to a company. And they say, oh, yeah, I'm fine. What do you want? And they say, we're calling you from, this is not a 419 call. We're calling you from the Federal Reserve of America. I say, oh, yes, well, yeah. And you say, are you already talking? So, you're fixing an appointment. Then the guy says, well, I'm the head. It's oh, good morning. You know, you're not saying the second time. You say, good morning, sir. You know, I say, I'm really, really sorry. You know, there's a time like that, I play pranks, I call people, and I'll just be joking. I've done it for some brethren here. So I'll be like, how are you? I saw you in church. Some of you are looking at me. You know I've done it for you before. I say, someone say, no, I don't know you. I say, but I like you. And I say, no, please. There's someone looking at you like this. Don't give yourself away now. Let's just say, I'll call back. Say, what is it? Okay. Someone said, okay, when we see in church, I said, no, I want an answer now. Said, So I just said, this is pastor. They said, good morning, sir. Good morning. The moment I got the message just asked, see accent. Yeah, go on, keep talking. Oh, yes. I said, after that, I said, it's me. Went to sales committee. Straight. Sales committee tone. Good morning, sir. It's a privilege, sir. So when Joshua said, oh, you're the captain of the host, you get it. I just went, So that means that, you know, they had encounters with you know, Ben Elohim, just like Abraham, but somebody stood out. You understand? There's always that, I saw God. Jacob knows he has seen angelic beings. But when he said, I saw God face to face. So, that's the distinction the writer of Hebrews is making here. Therefore, look at Hebrews 2. Look at the issue. Why did he become a man? This will help our soteriology. It says, now, for the background, if you start from Hebrews 2, verse 6, what is man that you are mindful of him? Alright, son of man, that's Psalm 8, verse 4 to 6. Son of man that you visit him. You made him a little lower than the Elohim. That's Old Testament language, right? Than the Elohim. Thou crowns him with glory and honor and set him over the works of God. That's a bit of a paradox. You made him little, then you set him over. So which means we have to know what was little, what is over. We see all things put into, under his feet. And I put all things, we left nothing that is not put under him. Now we do not see all things under him. So one is appearance. Because he had told you in Hebrews 1 that these sons of God, he says they are spirits, verse 7, and flames of fire. Old Testament language. So he says this man is a little lower. That's why we said that man was made, he can be mortal. It's a choice. Mortality, immortality, becomes, we've done this study before. So we have this. And it says in, we see Jesus who was, so that you know that little lower is not authority. He made him a little lower than Elohim. Now that's the key word. For the suffering of death. For the suffering of death. Because it's clear that all the patriarchs, there was something common, died. They died. For the suffering of death. So, the writer of Hebrews is very clear. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, which is in the resurrection, that he by the grace of God should taste death. Can you see it's consistent? For every man. Became him from whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the covenant of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause is not ashamed to call them brethren. Saying, I will declare thy name to my brethren, in the midst of the church will I sing praise to thee. So church is again familiarity term. And again I put my trust in him, and again behold the children which God had given me. Now, notice this. I was going to say this on Sunday as well, to build upon the workers in training convention teaching. Say the children that the Lord has given me. So you have the birth theology there. The children, they are for signs and wonders. Isaiah 8:18. Notice that is Genesis 3:15 echo, right? Huh? Right? You know, we already have Isaiah 7. The woman shall conceive. Bring forth the children the Lord has given me. So, children, birth is a sign of God's redemptive work. Which means that human life points to divine life. It's a sign. So it says the children, the Lord gave that for signs and wonders. That's the Old Testament now. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. Now, if you have missed that emphasis, then that's strange. That through what? Death. Can you see it again? So consider you have death. He might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Verse 15. And deliver them both through the fear of death, where all their lifetime subject to bondage. So, I'll make an assumption that you understand begotten. Only begotten? Huh? I make that assumption. So, it first of all explains man. Okay? Now, if you go back to chapter 1, you have Deuteronomy 32:8. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister? Okay? That is when the Most High divided the nations and into their inheritance, and divided them according to the number of the sons of God. Is that very clear? Uh-huh. So, he now says, now look at the word he uses here, verse 14. The children are partakers. The word partakers there is koinonio. K-O-I-N-O-N-E-O. It's common. Common. Okay? They are common. The children are commonly flesh and blood. That is, I'm going to describe as, oh, all these guys, they are dark in complexion. Something like that. They are. So, something common. Though it's a verb, which means coming into the earth is commonly flesh and blood. You know, some guys, I'm immortal. Yeah, I was writing it on Facebook. He says he has come to immortality. In fact, there was someone like that who told me, he said, do I not believe that we can walk in that immortality? I didn't say anything because I don't like arguments like that. So one day he was, through last week, man, he said he was really weak and all that. Immortality went weak. That's how I answered it. Immortality is hungry. Romans 15:27. Okay? Galatians 6:6. Philippians 4:15. Communicate. Make it common. Make available. Alright? So, this one, you have the word to make available, fellowship. That's, you find the word fellowship, make available, communicate. Philippians 4:15, to communicate. Then 1 Timothy 5:22, don't be a partaker of any man's sins. Okay? 1 Peter 4:13, and 2 Timothy 1:11. Now I'm going to just, that's a verb, so I'm going to go to the noun. The noun is more of partners who have a common thing, a common nature, or common place. Matthew 23:30. Just, I'm going to talk about this again on Sunday. Luke 5:10, when Peter called his partners, when they caught fish. 1 Corinthians 10:18, that is, they are commonly fishermen. 1 Corinthians 10:18. 1 Corinthians 10:20, fellowship. We have a common, what's the common about that? The bread. 2 Corinthians 8:23. Then where Paul called Philemon his partner. Philemon 17. Philemon, anyway. Hebrews 10:33. 1 Peter 5:1. And 2 Peter 1:4. Partakers of the divine nature. You come to partake. Now, there's something that's happened here, and one should pay attention to the details. It says, for as much as the children are partakers, or let's say, they have in common flesh and blood. They have in common. Change that word in your Bible to, they have in common flesh and blood. That is, we all are flesh and blood. Now, the good thing about this is the background has been given to who Jesus is. It's clear that he is God. So, he is God. You are man. In our past, we are men. He is God. So, he now says, he also himself likewise took part. He uses the word metecho. M-E-T-E-C-H-O. Now, this word, why I am going to take time to explain it, because it was a major issue in the transition meeting I was at. You know, because it presupposes something temporary, but it is not. Metiko means to use. Where I come to use your car, to use your room. Okay? He came to use what you already have. 1 Corinthians 9:10. Don't forget, the question is, what is between the Old and New Testament? We say it's Jesus. Not Jesus as a person, but as a man. Is it making sense? 1 Corinthians 9:10. That's why I said this series will help us in so great salvation. Are we on 8 now? Whatever we are on. 1 Corinthians 9. I told you it's a 25-year teaching. 1 Corinthians 9. Where did you join? 1 Corinthians 9:10. Some of you can be boasting, I was there. Alright? 9. That he that treasures in hope should be partaker of the hope. Should be partaker of the hope. Verse 12. We have not used this power to use. Alright? Which is you are giving something. We were not giving. We are flesh and blood. He is giving. So he was not. So 1 Corinthians 10:17. We are partakers of the one bread. So there's one bread we were given. Interestingly, the way, and this is what helped me to help this word, because I do back end work in Bible translation. So the way I was able to let this word go, because you know it can be quite mysterious, because just like another word we're going to see on Monday, the word omomosis. Now, is that the way the writer of Hebrews used koinonio is like we offered Jesus flesh and blood. He took the flesh and blood. So that's why it will make sense using metiko for what he has done. It's not like it is temporary. It is an exchange. He is divine. He will remain divine. But we are flesh. It's like we did an exchange. We now gave him our flesh and blood. That's why it says we partook of flesh and blood. Not just that we are human, but that is what we have to offer. Is that clear? Is that clear? That's what explains that word. So metiko here. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:17. Okay, I mentioned that already. Verse 21. Partakers of the Lord's table. The Lord's table is already there. You went to take of it. Verse 30. Okay. Partaker. Hebrews 5:17. So 13. Everyone that uses milk, metiko, uses. Hebrews 7:13. Gave attendance at the altar. So, go back to Hebrews 2 again. So, Jesus took part of the same. That means he took from us. Do you get it? Do you understand now? He took from us that through death, he might destroy. The word death nullify, katagio. I always remember this word because we did a series years back. 2002, I think, on deliverance, 2001 or 2. And I mixed up a Greek word throughout the whole session. So the next session, I probably looked for that tape, 2002. I now said in the intro that there was a mistake in the first session. That's the last thing that makes this word, please correct it. So I didn't want to reteach it. That's all. Now, what it says here, he took part that he might destroy. So the only way, right? So acting as the angel of the Lord, right? The only way, right? He can defeat death is to be a man. Because all the saviors will go to the place of bondage. He won't go to the place of bondage if he's not a man. So, he has to be a man. So, Hebrews 2. Watch this. Hebrews 2. I'm going to read verse. That he might deliver them. Okay, that's the word. Deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So, it's flesh and blood. Remember in this series, name of Jesus, where we say the word became flesh. We said, what is the flesh? And we began to identify different individuals. Are you following? Are you following? That is his humanity. In the first part of this series, we looked at the name of Jesus from his humanity. Who's following what I'm saying? Huh? Now we're looking at his name from his deity. Now we are back at his humanity now. And I said, what is the difference between the Old and New Testament? Now we have the word of the Lord and the men. What we have now is a fusion. An hypostasis. The Greek word, we saw that Hebrews 1:3. Substance. Fusion. So we have that. So Hebrews 2 says, now this is very critical because what's the Old Testament? The story of Israel from Genesis 11 or Genesis 12 through to Malachi. But there's a background. That background is there was a global rebellion. Remember? Archetype, Genesis 3. Are you following? They're all supernatural. Archetype, Genesis 3. Sub-theme, Genesis 4, Cain. Then Genesis 6 is global. Genesis 11. Genesis 3 is not global, it's archetype. Genesis 4. Justly, we have been fixated on Genesis 3. Genesis 11, Genesis 6. So Genesis 12 is the solution. So the solution is Deuteronomy 32 verse 8. Divided the nations the son, according to the numbers of the sons of God. Then he now took Jacob. Genesis 12. Who in through him will all the nations of the earth be blessed. So, in other words, Genesis 12 through to Malachi 4 is the salvation story. And the salvation of the whole world. But what will be most prominent? Israel, because that is the servant nation. Let me see if you are following this. That's the, so it's not a, an, people that say no, it's just a Jewish religion. No, that's being daft. It is not. Because Abraham himself was called out of those nations. Genesis 11 and 12. So it's a salvation story. So that is why we have said, all the words in the New Testament, the story is in the Old Testament. Is it making sense? Uh-huh. So, now, we have, in this series, we have discussed Jesus' name as a man. That's why I went to, he's like Joshua, he's like David, he's like, he is like, but watch this. He is not like the angel of the Lord. He is the angel of the Lord. Do you understand? Are you getting this? He is not like the word of the Lord. He is the word of the Lord. So now, he is like. Does that explain the meticulous? Huh? Does that explain the meticulous? He is like. That means, he is like is that this is something he took on himself. But his essence, Hebrews 1, 2 and 3, he is God. Character. Do you get it? Uh-huh. His essence is God, but he took on himself. Hebrews 2, verse, made a little lower than the angels. We have seen that he is the captain of the Lord of hosts, right? Lord of hosts, right? Captain of the host. So, but now, rather than remain that supernatural being, he has now, is now like, so we call him a man like God. A man like God. So, we're going back to the earlier part of this series. Look at 16. For verily, are you there now? He took not on the nature of what? With what I told you earlier. Nature of what? Sons of God. That's the reason like the Old Testament audience. Rather, he took on the seed of, so now we're explaining his humanity. So, that flesh and blood is that he took on. Alright? So, he is the seed of Abraham. So, that is genealogy. Huh? Come on. So, put this in your notes. Genealogy. That's genealogy as theology. That's, so, you have that, the theme of Genesis 3:15. Because the promise is that the seed of the woman who bruised the head of the serpent. And in context, there was death involved. Is that clear? So, If he is deliverer, he has been deliverer, in the Old Testament, captain of war, a savior, so there is something he has not saved from. What's that? Death. All the miracles, we have seen it before. Righteousness. Do you understand? So, there's something that has never happened. And that is victory over death. So, the only way that will happen, it will have to metikos. Do you get it? Do you understand? Aha. Become a man. Now, we're going to explore it a bit. It now says here, look at 17. Wherefore, in all things, it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. Homoimios. H-O-M-O-M-I-O-S. H-O-M-O-M-I-O-S. It's used for comparison. Matthew 6:8. Matthew 7:24 and 26. Used oftentimes in parables. Matthew 6:8. Matthew 7:24 and 26. Matthew 11:16. Matthew 13:24. Matthew 18:23. Why do we use this word? Right? Is to show similar things can happen. Matthew 6:8, Matthew 7:24-26, Matthew 11:16, Matthew 13:24, Matthew 18:23, Matthew 22:2, Matthew 25:1, Mark 4:30, Luke 7:31, Luke 13:18 and 20, Mark 4:30, Luke 7:31, Luke 13:18 and 20. Now remember when Barnabas and Paul were treated like God said, the men have come in the likeness of God. The gods have come, sorry, in likeness of men. Acts 14:11. Romans 9:29. So he's made like. Look at 17. Like unto his brethren. He's made like unto his brethren. So we can compare. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make a reconciliation for the sins of the people. Then he says, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor. Now, that word succor, I'll spell it for you, is B-O-E-T-H-E-O. B-O-E-T-H-E-O. Now, if you throw it to the Old Testament, watch this, this is good. If you throw this to the Old Testament, you will see it in two places. It's used 81 times. But the first place you are going to see it is Genesis 2:21. It's not good for man to be alone. Let's make an help meet. And that is not your wife. Azar. As a verb. Isaiah 49:8. This is the text. The writer is writing from, I've helped thee. In the day of salvation have I helped thee. Help thee, Azar, and I'll preserve thee and give thee a covenant of good to establish the earth to cause to inherit the desert heritages. So, Azar, 2 Corinthians 6:2. So, that word help, bohithio, the word succor, help, it's when there is danger ahead. Matthew 15:25. Matthew 15:25. Remember we said, what is the difference between the Old and New Testament is Jesus, right? And as God became a man. It is not, we'll see this maybe today or maybe on Monday. Sunday. When him coming into the world is as a man, no, he never left the world. Do you get that? Aha. He never did. He's as a man. That's the coming into the world. So let's see it. You came from heaven to earth. That's correct, because the heaven and the earth are here. Matthew 15:25. He came and worshiped and said, Lord, help me. Help me. Mark 9:22-24. Acts 16:9. Come and help us. Acts 21:28. To help. So go back to Hebrews 2. So he has come to help us that are tempted. So he helps us, bondage of death. He helps us when we fall into sin. Knowing fully well that the archetype, what I'm about to say, the archetype of sin is that a man sins, he leaves the sacred area. So, the helper, right, now stays with us eternally. Which means we are secure in the sacred area, sacred place. Because the helper is here. So, and then, deliver them who through all their lifetime were subject to bondage. So, Jesus' humanity is because of us. So I put it here, I say it's identification. Identification. It is for identification. Identification. To identify with. So identification becomes a key word in our theology where God is with us. He has become a human being. Identification. So the frailty of man, which is in humanity, where he's both mortal, weak, frail, God has now identified there. And when we explore that in the So Great Salvation series, you see that when, look at what I'm about to say. When he is with the people, they take on the identity of his presence in spite of them. And he takes on their identity. So his humanity will play the same significance. So humanity now, of course, through faith in his faithfulness, is now preserved. Because God is a man. The way E.W. Kenyon says it, he says that what gives guarantee to our salvation and assurance is the fact that, this is how he says it, at the right hand of the Father, we have a man there. That may take you a while to see that at the right hand. And when you know what right hand is and the significance in the eternal scheme of things, we have a man. So which means, despite our frailty, we'll see this one in seated on high, despite our frailty, I mean, naturally you look at a man, we look frail, when people talk about, a ghost, so you begin to shake because you just see yourself as flesh and blood. You know, you look frail. But the way man has been made by God is to be in the best of two worlds, in the natural and the supernatural. So that is why you must look at that identification. There is a man at the right hand of God. And that is what you should look at. Because if people will take the identity of God's presence. One of the words we're going to say, the word Yahweh means I will be. Which is, it's an identification tag. I will be. I will be, I am, I is, I will be. So, we look away from our frailty. Our confidence is in his sacred presence. We look away. We are not any better than any human being. There's nothing you have, we are flesh and blood. Do you get it? Intelligence wise, some are more brilliant than you. Some are this one. But, there is a partaking that God has done with us. That by our faith in his faithfulness, we have a security. And that security is eternal in sense of death. It deals in the present instead of both sin and death. Because even with sins, he is now our faithful high priest. The high priest, which doesn't go into any place, the high priest has come to live in us and live with us. So he takes care of yesterday, he takes care of now, and he takes care of the future. Is that clear? We're not there yet. We'll teach that one later, Abby. We'll teach that one later. So we want to look at why did he shed his blood? What's the essence of the blood? What was the essence of the blood? And a lot of concepts have been, you know, God in the blood. Of course, I know you don't think like that. I've corrected that over the years. God in the blood, and takes the blood and he wants to drink it. And if he doesn't see the blood, he'll be angry. But we saw the Genesis fact that the first time we saw blood, it says blood cried, was by someone killing another person. We don't see blood again. In fact, they were warned about blood in Noah's time. So all the sacrifices, what were they for? Worship. Okay. So, quickly, he is therefore the Word, he is the angel of the Lord. Look at the book of Judges. Judges 2. We'll be there before. Move as quickly as possible on this. And an angel of the Lord came up to Gilgal. We've seen this one and said, I have made you go up. Is it just one of the beings of Jesus? Is that one of the beings of Jesus? It's Jesus. I have made you go up out of Egypt. I have brought you to land which I swore to your fathers. I said I will never break my covenant with you. We've done that comparison now. So we have the book of Judges, till verse 5. Verse 2, of course, they failed to drive out the enemies. Now, this book of Judges is where we have the angel of the Lord most prominent in the entire Bible. Now, the thing about it is the book of Judges is practically the darkest world of the Old Testament. It's the darkest hour. In Judges 21:25, I wanted to even talk about it during the workers' convention, but we didn't have all the time. Judges 21:25, and it says here, in those days, there was no king in Israel, including God. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. You see it all over this book. Chapter 17, verse 6. There was no king. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Chapter 18, verse 1. No king in Israel. So it was... Everybody was just in chapter 19, verse 1, no king in Israel. That phrase simply means there was no authority. So in spite of that, right, Jesus was there. He didn't abandon. Judges 5:23. Part of this very dark hour. That's why I think it's like, because we are going to do Judges. It's not a nice book like that. Okay, it's one of those books you wish were not written. Cause ye merrow, said the angel of the Lord, cause ye bitterly the angels thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. In spite of what they were not abandoned. So the first person we're going to see who will have this encounter with Jesus is in Judges 6, and that is Gideon. Judges 6:11-12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? Why all these miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. So he is visible here. And you see the same thing, he looked up, very similar to Genesis 18:1-2, Abraham. Now we have the concept of trees. Look at verse 11, 12, and 13. Probably see this. Let me see whether we can deal with that now. Shoot. Okay, we have the concept of trees. Let's just put this down. Now, in their world, trees were used by deity, supernatural beings. It was believed to be a contact with the spirit realm. This explains Genesis 2 and 3. It's like a contact with the spirit world. Let's run through a bit. Genesis 12 verse 6 to 7. And Genesis 18:1, the plains. Where you have plains there, it's like trees. Like a garden of a sort. Genesis 18:1. The plains of Mamre. Right, plains of Mamre, Genesis 13:18. Plains of Mamre, Abram built an altar. Genesis 12, I missed this one, okay. 6 to 7, plain of Moreh. So it's like I'm in the midst of trees. Genesis 35 verse 4. 35 and verse 4. Under the oak that was called Shechem. Joshua 24, verse 25 to 27. So there's this consistent use of trees. Joshua 24, 25 to 27. In the same place in Shechem, under an oak. That's a tree. There's always something about a tree. Notice also in the temple, there was a place of trees. Because trees communicate the supernatural. That is their language. Judges 4, verse 4 to 5. The tree of Deborah. Then of course, Judges 9, verse 5 to 6. 2 Samuel 5, that's David. 2 Samuel 5. So if they, in their words, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they understand what you're saying. Is that clear? 2 Samuel 5, verse 24-25. When you hear the sound of the going in the tops of mulberries, and there shall the Lord go before thee. So that's the trees signify the supernatural. Then of course, it was also used for, can call them pagan trees. It's Romans 16:21. Romans 16:21. 1 Kings 14 verse 23, 1 Kings 14 23, 2 Kings 17 verse 10, and Jeremiah 17:2. I'll take it again. Jeremiah 16:21, 1 Kings 14 23, 2 Kings 17:10, Jeremiah 17:2. Now, a bit of grammar, you'll discover that the word El, where you have the word God, Elohim, Eloha, it has the root words with trees. Trees. Or the supernatural, spirit being. So the root word of spirit being or spirit realm is tree. So trees are called spirit realm. Is that clear? Is that clear? Uh-huh. Trees are called spirit realm. Exodus 15:27. Let me see whether we can roll that in a bit. Exodus 15:27. Now there was healing in 26. And Lord, I healed thee. Then they came to Elim, where there are 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they come to see that. Deuteronomy 4:28, and Ezekiel 31, verse 7. Yeah, so you have that phrase. Exodus 32, the bush was burning, right? Are you there? And he looked, when he looked at the bush that was burning, who did he see? He saw God. Is that clear? Huh? Uh-huh. So you have that, you know, background cryptic message. Deuteronomy 33 and 16. Him that dwells in the bush, let the blessing come from upon the head of Joseph. 2 Samuel 5:24. Then you have Isaiah 11:1. Shall grow out a branch. Isaiah 11:1. That's one of the names. The prophecies about the Messiah, a rod out of the stem of Jesse, out of roots, shall grow up like a tree. So you see, there's that similitude talking about God. Then you have John 5. I am the vine, right? You are the branches, my father is the husbandman. Does that flow? It's an Old Testament language. So go back to Judges 6. We You have verse 13. So that encounter again, we'll deal with, you know, the ministry trees. Then he says, well, look at what he now says, which our fathers, say, where are all the miracles which our fathers, the word there is wonders, from the word pala, I'll spell it for you, Nifatolam, N-I-P-H-A-O-T-A-N. N-I-P-H-A-O-T-A-N. Let me check my concept again. I hope I'm not saying rubbish. From the word, I know pala is wonders, P-A-L-A, which deals with Egypt. Okay? Pala is wonders. So he said, where are the wonders? Then there was issue of the fleas and all that. Look at a parallel later. Look at verse 14. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this might, thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said to him, O Lord, my Lord, where shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am least in my father's house. The Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and thou shalt smite the Midianites with one man. Now, let me read this from, with one man. Are you seeing that? Are you following? With one man. Let me read this from the Septuagint translation for you. Judges 6, 16. So the angel of the Lord. Now, you know, this one says the Lord, but the Septuagint says the angel of the Lord is connecting him back to the Exodus. The angel of the Lord. Verse 14 too. Verse 14 says, the angel of the Lord turned to him. So, the Septuagint is, which is Hebrew, showing us that he saw the same person speaking with him. And there's something a bit similar here. Let's quickly see. So he said in, and he said to him, if I found grace in your sight, show me a sign that you are talking with me. Right? Now, you know, when they ask for sign, it's something that happened before. Show me a sign. He says, I pray thee, I come to thee, and bring forth thy presence and set it before thee. And he said, okay, I will tarry until you come again. Gideon went in and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, and the flesh he put in a basket, and put forth the broth in the pot, and brought it out unto him. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh, unleavened cakes, and lay it upon the rock, and pour it the broth, and he did so. And the angel of God put forth the end of it. Now, notice, go to Genesis 18. In Abraham's instance. So this is like a parallel, straight parallel. Genesis 18. Verse 6. He made ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and made cakes upon the earth. Are we together? Alright. Now what he did was 3 measures of fine meal, which is equal to 22 liters. The ephah of flour here too, here, in Judges 6, is also 22 liters, so it's direct. It's like, I'm going to do what Abraham did to see whether I'm seeing who Abraham saw. So he saw a man-like form. He has scriptures in the sense of he knows about Egypt, he knows about the promise of Abraham. So he's saying, let me see whether this has happened before. So other people have said that he was throwing out a fleece correctly, but it was not just a fleece. He was saying, look, let me see whether this is according to scriptures. Does it make sense? Huh? Alright. Judges 6:24. Built an altar unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. That's simpler, simple, right? That's Jesus directly, have you? Huh? Is that Jesus? That's Jesus. Now, peace unto you. Jehovah has brought peace to you. Luke 24:36. Brought peace. Where it says peace. John 20:21, peace unto you. That's by saying that Jesus is identifying them as God, right? Huh? Peace unto you. So that means he has seen a man-like form of God. A person, visible. Then Judges 13, Samson's parents. Learn some? You learn some? Judges 13. Of course, something very simple here is that the parents were childless. A barren woman, verse 3. Similar. Then verse 11. Okay, let's we'll get there. And the angel of God appeared unto them, verse 4, and said, behold, now you are barren, you bear not, and you shall conceive and bear a son. And you know, drink not wine and all that. She told her husband, a man of God, verse 6, came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very visible. I asked him not who he was, neither told him me his name. He said to me, behold, I shall conceive. And verse 8, Manoah entreated the Lord and said, oh my Lord, let the man of God which you sent come again to us, teach us what we shall do unto the child when he is born. Lord hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto him as he sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. I don't know where he goes to all the time. And the husband... and the man, maybe he works in Lagos. And the man made his, and Jonah husband said to him, behold, the man had appeared to me and came to me the other day. Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said to him, are thou the man that speaks unto the woman? And he said, I am. How does that sound? Does that ring a bell? I am. That's the answer he gives. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child and we'll do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said to him, of all that I said to the woman, let her be aware. She may not eat. And went on and on. Now, quickly, of course, I am is Exodus 13, sorry, 3, verse 13 to 14. Now look at verse 17. Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? And when your sayings come to pass, we may do this honor, the honor. The angel of the Lord said to him, why ask for my name, seeing it is secret? And he said, took a kid, and offered it unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. Okay? Let's see. Now, that word is another word for wonders. Miracle. We'll explore that a bit. Wonder. And from the word pele, that we saw earlier on seat, it came to pass, flame went towards heaven of the altar, and the angel of God ascended to the throne of the altar. So the angel went with the flame. Now, flames are usually the supernatural beings. So if he goes with the flame, he's not one of the sons of God. Is that very clear? That's just like Jesus. And fell on the face of the ground, and the angel of the no more appeared to Manoah's wife, and Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. Now, this is bad. The Septuagint says the angel of the Lord, not an. The angel of the Lord did not appear. And Manoah said to her, we shall surely die because we have seen who? God. The way he left, they knew this is not one of. Is that very clear? We have seen God. His wife said to him, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received, that's because he was always around, but he's never in church. He would not have received the burnt offering and the beat offering from her hands, neither would he have showed us all these things. You know, because it shows that they didn't initially know. They thought it was just one of those supernatural beings. And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. Lord grew and the Lord blessed him. So you have the word wonder. Now, notice that he didn't disclose his name. He just said wonder. In Revelation 19, let's just quickly see this. And verse 12, something similar is said there by John. His eyes were a flame of fire. And his head were many crowns, and he had a name written, and no man knew it, but he himself. That's cryptic and straightforward. Look at something similar. Genesis 18:14. The name is Wonders. That's what's secret there. Genesis 18:14. That's the Lord's appearance to Sarah. And it says, and Sarah, in verse 13, the Lord said to Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard? That word there is miracles. Wonderful. It's the same word. Pele. Too hard for the Lord. Alright? That's wonderful. Isaiah 9:7. His name shall be called Wonderful. Same thing. Is that clear? Isaiah 9:7. So he said they had seen God. We're going to look at Isaiah 9:7 on Sunday. They had seen God. So the core issue here is that when you hear the scriptures testify of me, Jesus was affirming his deity. You want to talk about prophecy. It was prophecy is yes, predicted, but that is himself. So the point is that the New Testament authors, were they able to connect Jesus in the Old Testament with the four Gospels and the epistles? Definitely. Definitely, that was what they wrote about. So when we say we are in Christ, we are not dealing with a figure that just shows up in the four Gospels and the epistles. You know, haven't been seen before, we don't know him, and all of that. No. The Christ person is a participant of the Old Testament. So we talk about the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is his reputation in the Old Testament. And the salvation message is related directly to his name. Is that clear? Well, let's continue.